tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans.
It's not warm when she's away.
Welcome to another episode of the AfterBuzz TV Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show.
We've got the karaoke version up there.
Anytime she goes away.
Although specifically when she went away, there was sun.
Yeah,
so
it doesn't count.
Yeah, no. It's a little bit of a misconception.
It's a backwards planet. God. Things are weird over there.
Yeah.
God, Bill Withers is so off on this song.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you don't read your memos.
Yeah.
That's what happens. But tonight, guys, we are talking to you about Season 3, Episode 5, 4,722 hours. And if you guys can't tell, we are feeling a little down.
Feeling a lot of things.
I don't know that I'm down, necessarily. I have very mixed emotions right now.
How about emotional? Is that a better term for it?
Definitely emotional.
Again, and I said this about the episode last week, I'm super satisfied with the information that we got, with the scenes that we got. I mean, Elizabeth Henstridge was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was phenomenal in tonight's episode.
This was such a good episode.
Well,
so I'm overall very happy.
Let me introduce my fantastic panel. Joining me tonight, Jesse Klein.
Hi, everyone. You can find me on Twitter at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
Zach Wilson.
Hey, guys. Tweet at me throughout the week, throughout the show, at ThatZachWilson. That's Zach with a CH. And I'm keeping an eye on the chat roll if you're joining us live.
Joyce Ajuri.
Cool. Hey, guys. You can find me on Twitter at JAjuri. It's down there on the third.
And you guys can tweet at me at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I am your host, Megan Salinas. And throughout the show, not only will we be keeping an eye on the live chat, we will also be keeping an eye on the hashtag on Twitter, ABTVShield, as we do every week. So we want to know what you guys thought of tonight's episode. Are you on board with some of the things they did in tonight's episode, or are you thoroughly against it? We want to hear your guys' thoughts and opinions. Let's go ahead and get right into it. Just initial thoughts on tonight's episode, because it was a very different episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's very rare where we stick with one character and stick with one storyline, because they've gotten so used to jamming so many different storylines into every single episode that it's kind of weird to just kind of sit and be in one place for the entire 40 minutes.
I mean, rare. This was a 100% unique episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. And not just because, like, we're on a different planet, but because stylistically, this is completely different from anything they've ever done.
Yeah, I thought it was a really satisfying episode. I really enjoyed it. I thought the pacing was perfect. I never felt bored with, like, seeing the survival aspects of Simmons, which I think is, a kind of danger that you can do with this type of episode. And I always felt like they were building to something, and it didn't feel like a bottle episode. Like, things that happened in this episode will affect the rest of the season and the rest of the show.
And like, this is probably one of the biggest events ever to happen in S.H.I.E.L.D., and to have an episode completely dedicated to finding out what happened was totally necessary, totally fitting, and like we said before, super satisfying. I'm so happy with it.
Yeah, I'm blown away, because this episode was intense, it was very moving, but at the same time, very, very well paced too.
Yeah.
Like, it's so easy for, like, anything to kind of slip into, like, Castaway territory, where it's good, but, like, you're kind of checking your watch going, okay, when is he getting off the island yet? But this was compelling the entire time that we were with her and her companion in this episode. So I'm thoroughly pleased as well. The only thing I'm mad about is that I don't immediately have the next episode to watch.
That's two episodes in a row that really left us on a cliffhanger.
Pretty much.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call that a cliffhanger. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that I disliked this episode before I say this in any way. But I did find it somewhat predictable outside of it.
Yeah.
I figured from like the get-go, as soon as we introduced a person, this is what was going to happen.
Or we immediately learned that he's the reason that she wants to go back.
Yeah. As soon as he's introduced, I think I even said to Megan, I'm like, this is going to happen. I thought at the time, like, I'll be super unhappy about it. I'm okay with it.
We'll get more into my feelings at the end.
Say that wasn't initially where I went, because for me, this was a guy who walked around with a machete, and I've seen enough horror movies to learn to fear this man. Men with machetes are meant to be feared. But yeah, all in all, again, very satisfied. Let's talk about, I hate to go through like the episode like chronologically, but because this is such a different episode, I feel like that's kind of how we have to break it down.
Yeah, otherwise we'll just be talking in circles for the next 45 minutes.
We will be like somebody lost on the planet, just walking around no fly zones.
Yeah, how weird that she has to go back to the planet and there's a smoke monster there.
Well, actually, that's not where my mind went. It looks like a smoke monster at first, but when towards the end of the episode, not to jump ahead, but I was like, the impossible astronaut?
Yeah, it was sort of a mashup.
Or Silence in the Library.
Oh, yeah. Who turned out the lights? Yeah. For those of you who watch Doctor Who, you know what we're talking about. If you don't, go... Well, don't watch that episode. It was bad, but...
it's what if the Man in Black storyline from Lost got smashed into the Impossible Astronaut storyline on an alternate planet.
Which is so funny as a complete side note, but we actually had the Man in Black on S.H.I.E.L.D. for a very brief time. He's Agent Blake.
Oh.
Well, the last time we saw him, he got, like, stomped on and then sent to a hospital.
Hmm.
By Deathlock. Deathlock stomped on him, and he had to go to a hospital, and we haven't seen him since. So the Man in Black is in S.H.I.E.L.D., so hashtag it's all connected. Anyway, yeah, let's talk about this opening scene. Just seeing her get stranded and being very level-headed at first, and being, you know, convinced that Fitz would be coming after her and that the best thing to do would be, as a scientist, to catalog everything. Was this kind of where you guys expected her to be when she first got stranded?
I mean, I like that as soon as she gets stranded, her first thing is like, okay, time to do science. Like, that was her first initial reaction. My big thing is I wish they'd done the cell phone explanation on the top, because the entire time I was like, how does she have enough battery life? Like, I wish
my phone doesn't last for a day with all of the Twitter and stuff
I sort of just assumed, like, it's a S.H.I.E.L.D. megaphone.
As did I, but...
Wait.
As did I, but, like... Like, I just kind of wished that there was, like, if she could have been like, thank you, Fitz, for giving me this great
this super phone that
yeah.
with the extended battery life that won't go bad for months and months as long as I use it conservatively.
Because I found that a little distracting, or, like, every time I'd see her, like, on the phone, I was like, it's been
she
weeks.
She needed someone to ask her that question before.
Yeah,
she said it to herself.
It didn't bother me, just because S.H.I.E.L.D. has so much other absurd tech. I'm like, they could have a battery.
It's very easily explained. But I also, I would expect her to go in the mode that she did right when she, you know, got there. But I also thought it was interesting that, you know, her other immediate thought was that Fitz was going to help her. And I know that he always has, and he always has come through, and they're best friends, and they're connected and all that stuff. But, I mean, poor guy. There's so much pressure put on him already. And she's just like, all right, he's going to help me. But she did... the best that she could to help herself.
Well, and she was following S.H.I.E.L.D. protocol.
True.
Protocol mm-hmm. is to sit and wait for extraction. Like, she's like, yeah, she's relying on Fitz, but that's what she's supposed to do in an emergency situation. So, like, she's also kind of falling back on, like, routine and standard operating procedure, and, like, this is what we do when things go wrong. And as long as we stick to that, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys, this is the general overall thing, but the blue filter never bothered me.
No.
Like, I was worried that, like, that blue filter over the entire episode was gonna bother me, but it never really affected my enjoyment of the show.
Because we felt that the entire time. I mean, the mood was set from the beginning, and it wasn't jarring to come into that, and it wasn't jarring to go out of it either when, you know, they were underground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, to me, it was the perfect simple way to make this an alien world.
Yeah.
Like, clearly they just went out and shot this in the desert.
It would have looked like early Star Trek if they just left it without the blue filter.
It would have looked like Dune or Tatooine.
The blue filter really...
Kirk is fighting in the Vasquez Rocks. Yeah. Like, oh, it's a trailer.
Yeah, the blue filter really made this feel like an alien world.
Yeah.
Like, more than anything else they did, it felt like we were not... You can look up in the sky and see, like, multiple planets, like, another planet, and it's like, that's alien. But, like, Tatooine, to use Star Wars, like, Tatooine is another world, but it still felt familiar.
Yeah.
It still felt like a normal desert. Yeah.
This was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, this was, we didn't understand how to feel about where she was. It was just a totally uncomfortable place to be.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of that was the way that they shot the desert was that, you know, everywhere that she looked, there was never a good look at the horizon.
Mm-mm.
You know, even when she's looking out at the, you know, at the planets and the sky and everything like that, we never, and even when she's at top, like the top of a ridge, we never get like a real good look at the planet that she's on up until they're at that giant, you know, chasm.
Yeah.
So, and because of that, because they're shooting everything very close and you're not seeing a whole lot, that makes it uncomfortable, that makes it very claustrophobic, even though she's in a great wide open world.
Yeah. I definitely agree.
That's a good point.
I really like the survival stuff. It wasn't 100% accurate. Like, also, like, if you think you need 100 days without water, don't wait 80 days to get water.
It was 100 hours.
Or 100 hours.
I was going to say.
If you think
we
you need
here at AfterBuzz are not responsible for
I didn't
your
mean
survival.
Days, I meant hours. If you think you need 100 hours...
If you need
100 hours for water, don't wait 80 hours to find water. I would say probably...
She was looking the whole time.
No, she was waiting around.
But the thing
and
is...
And then waited 80 hours, and then she was like, all right, I gotta leave and go look for water.
I will say, I hear what you're saying with that, but I do want to talk a little bit about dialogue in this episode, because dialogue-wise, this is something very, very difficult. Because you want to have, you know... the character convey information, you want to see how they're, what they're feeling and how they're going through, but for the longest time, without somebody to talk to, she only has her phone to, like, bounce ideas off of, and you kind of, at the same time, slowly see her deteriorate in terms of, like, what she's talking about to keep her mind off the horrible situation that she's in.
Yeah.
I really appreciated that, because dialogue in a situation like this is very, very difficult.
I mean, it's very difficult, and just the acting of it. This was Elizabeth Henstred's Castaway.
Yeah, she killed it.
Very much. And she did, she brought everything to the table.
Yeah.
Because the dialogue was well written in that, like, she was, to me, she was talking to herself out of scientific necessity. Like, she knew, I have to keep talking. It doesn't matter if there's a person. If I'm talking to anyone, to just a fake Fitz, to myself out loud, it just helps keep the mind focused and on track. And she knows that, and she goes with it. And latching on to Fitz specifically was just like a device for her.
Yeah.
Like, it was also very emotional.
For sure.
But it also you could see the thinking behind her thinking behind doing it.
And it also gave her performance like some melancholy as well as like desperation and like a search
Super
for survival.
Desperate.
I think the melancholy really added to that performance, which you don't really see in these survival shows, like, usually it's like, okay, gotta keep myself going, that kind of thing. But then adding that emotional aspect to it really made it a much larger and deeper performance.
Yeah. And in many ways, you'd think, you would say, like, the idea of her talking to Fitz, like, through that photo on the phone kind of kept her going, you know, throughout the planet and everything, until she found Will, who, you know, brought the realness back.
Yeah. Good night, Will. Oh, that bit. I will say I also really admire the timing and delivery for all of this, not just with her performance, because we've got a lot of people in the hashtag saying that she just absolutely killed it, which she did.
Yeah.
But I also really appreciated a lot of the delivery, because it's both melancholy, but at the same time, there are moments of levity, because she's also trying to keep herself in good spirits and keep herself very hopeful. And one thing, I laughed, and then I would feel bad, because she'd be talking about, like, should I wear a dress, or would that be weird? And then she would trip and fall, and it's like we have this moment of levity, and then you're right back down on the ground. And it was the same when she was waiting for the sun to come up, and she's like, it'll come up any second now, and then like 3 days go by, and she's like, where's the sun? What have you done with it? And you laugh, and then you feel terrible because she just breaks down and weeps. I felt awful.
I mean, it became, for her as a scientist, like, the sun not being there has, for 3 days, has massive implications to what is happening to her. And I think she latched on to that one thing. It's like, okay, if I can find the sun, I'll be okay.
At least there's something I can recognize in this place.
There's nothing. Yeah. There's an unfamiliar moon,
and
theoretically, an unfamiliar planet.
You can figure out which way is north, south, west. Well, you can figure out some semblance of direction.
I mean, that's
if you can figure out which way the sun is rotating. Sun,
You can just figuring out what time of day it is. Just figuring out that a day has passed, like, as we see with Will, like, he has no idea how long he's been there, because there's no such thing as day.
Yeah.
God.
I mean,
once every 18 years.
Yeah, I mean, they've...
She also says that they're on the pole. So, like, if they had
traveled...
I guess
it's like being in Alaska during, like, 90 days of night.
Yeah.
It's just, they're lost without their normal sleep patterns, because you see that a lot in, like, they do a lot of sleep studies and things like that, or like, submarines or space exploration. Like, there's no set days. So usually you have to have something programmed to set you at 9 hours of darkness and the rest of the day in light, just so that your body keeps a rhythm, because if you don't have that will quickly drive you insane.
I shot a lot of comedy videos up in Alaska, and we would be out until like 4 a.m. shooting videos, and it would be as bright as it was at 12 p.m.
No thanks.
And it was so weird, because we'd be working and then we'd be like, what time is it? And it was, it's 2:30 a.m. and it would be as bright as it is at like noon. It was crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And it was actually, you know, Andrew pointed it out in the previous episode, that, you know, one of the things that the Chilean miners did was give themselves routines.
Yeah.
And, you know, without that kind of routine in this type of situation, it's very, very easy to lose yourself and lose track of everything. So, yeah. And I do want to talk about, like, Gemma kind of, like, having to fight for survival before meeting anybody.
Because
she finally finds a source of water, and there's this horrifying plant monster that we don't really get to see, but it has tentacles. And, it was a very smart way of going about doing it, because that's easier on the prop and effects department. But at the same time, like, a monster that you can't see is so much more terrifying than anything you do.
And it fooled me, too, because last week in the previews, I mean, in previous episodes of season, we heard them say, oh, there was no fauna, only flora. So when we saw the preview last week of this episode, and I saw her getting dragged into the water, and I was like,
well, there's clearly fauna. An animal.
There's an animal. It's got to be some sort of creature, but it was clever for them to trick us that way and show us that it's actually something that evolved, like a plant that evolved on this planet to survive that way.
To trap but anything that needs water.
Exactly. Literally,
come to
man-eating
it.
Plant.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, if some people were asking a little bit ago in the chat role, how did she know that the water was safe to drink? The
and
answer
she
is she didn't. Yeah. She just had no other option.
Yeah.
At that point, she's basically reached a point where either this is going to save my life or kill me.
Yeah.
There's no other.
There gets a point in a survival situation where it's like you can't wait any longer. You need water, and even if it's tainted water. Tainted water is better than no water at a certain point.
That's tough, too, because I imagine your immune system is already lowering at that point.
Yeah.
So, like, to risk it like that, clearly she was desperate.
Oh. Yeah.
And even people lost out at sea, like, they know that ocean water is only going to make their situation worse. That doesn't make wanting to drink that water, like, any less desirable.
Yeah, I mean, that could have had any, like, space parasites. Like
yeah, no, this could have easily killed her.
Yeah, like I was like, how does she even know it's water? Like it didn't like with that blue filter going on.
I was
how
like,
do you
is
know
it a
water?
Mirage?
Yeah,
it certainly looked muddy and gross.
Yeah. What if the plant thing is a parasite on a living planet?
Oh, are you talking about Ego, the living planet?
that's what I was hinting at.
Yeah.
I wish that there was a way that you guys could watch our reaction videos to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because when we got to a certain point, these two were looking at each other going, it's a thing. It's a living planet.
I'm like, there's a mutant planet.
I'm like, what are you talking
planet.
About?
There's a... It's a weird thing in comic books in general, because in the DC universe, there are also some living planets.
Yeah, there are Green Lantern Corps members
and
that
Red
are
Lantern
living
Corps.
Planets.
Yeah, and in the Marvel world, there's Ego, the living planet, which mostly deals with Thor and Beta Ray Bill. It has a clear face on it, like a
Well, hey, we don't know what was in the no-fly zone.
Exactly, we don't.
The man on the moon.
Because he says it's alive, whether the planet. And I talked about this on Twitter with some people, but maybe it's the character of death, like the concept of death is a physical manifestation in the Marvel world.
Mm-hmm.
It's who Thanos wants to
court.
Be with and court. And, like, that looked a lot, like, when it was a cloaked figure like that.
Yeah,
it
I
looked
was
a lot
the same
like
thing.
The comic version of death, or at least one of the many versions. Also, she has on-again, off-again relationship with Deadpool, but they can never be together because Deadpool can't die.
He can't, no. So,
it's a really
the
sad
most
story.
Tragic love story of all.
I was thinking that it was a manifestation of death as well. Like, I thought of the Infinity Gauntlet immediately, but also when in previous podcasts for this show, in this season, I think the question was asked that, you know, was she on the same planet as Thanos? But then as we, you know, quickly learned that it's quite an empty planet, but it was still a cool possibility or a thought anyway.
And I mean, death is universal, so she could be anywhere. Yeah. And, like, if this is a planet that I don't think they're going to have, like, big universal kind of things, but I think it might be a nod to comic book fans who know that death is a character in the Marvel Universe.
Well, I
actually feel like... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I feel like we're going to find out in S.H.I.E.L.D. what that was. They set it up as too big a mystery, and this show is too good about paying off. Like, I trust Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to pay off anything like that that they're going to set up.
What I'm saying is they might have already told us. It could just be death.
Yeah,
and that's it.
I disagree with that. Not to get into predictions, but I disagree that this is a manifestation of death because I feel like they know that's what they're projecting. And when they show a figure like that and when it's constantly referred to as death, of course that's what everybody... Because everybody, after seeing the Avengers, went to Google, who already didn't know who Thanos was, went to Google to pretend like they knew who Thanos was. Because I'll be honest, I didn't know who he was, but... So everybody went to Google and found out about this whole thing with death, and then all of a sudden that last line makes sense. So everybody who's watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. probably knows that, at least to some extent, or has had their annoying nerdy friend explain it to them. So I feel like it's kind of meant to be misleading. I feel like it's meant to be like, hey guys, look, death that Lady Thanos has a thing for, but then actually ends up being something a little bit more in line with what we're used to seeing on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It could very well be something else completely.
Yeah.
Do you guys have something you want to share with the class?
I have to shout this out. All right.
I have a counter to that.
Just listen to my reaction and prepare yourself, because TJ Ford, I gotta give you credit. This just made me crack up. Where'd it go?
Wait. I think it's up. Right there.
Yeah, TJ Ford says, I'm a girl and I'd be super pissed, stranded with no pads.
And here's what I have to say, okay? It's different on different planet, I'm sure of it.
I like
different lunar cycle.
Different moons. Gravity's different. Your timing is off. Your body. Yeah, that's all I'm gonna say.
I mean,
well played, DJ. Well played.
If you're under like extreme physical circumstances, like if you're exercising very heavily, and actually, FYI, for those of you who I'm sure are not asking for it, but your body actually does change when you go through severe physical like training, and so she might not have needed any. Like, that's a fact of biology, you know, just being that survival situation. Yeah. She might have had to do so much physical prowess.
Stress and strain.
Yeah, she might not have even needed it.
Even a simple flight to another city might affect it.
I was thinking about getting a little bit further, but Will and Simmons, if they had a very physical relationship about pregnancy, and about that being a worry for them,
yeah.
And that might go into spoilers.
Like, Simmons might be pregnant
Not spoilers, but predictions. Yeah, that Simmons might be pregnant.
All right, well...
Yeah, there were some people saying, like, hashtag Simmons is preggers.
Yeah, I think she might be.
I mean, it's entirely possible. I was thinking
that's why she freaked out at the wine.
No, she said it tasted like vinegar.
No, the wine that Fitz pours for her.
I think it just reminded her of the dude she left behind.
Yeah, I think that's... Because, like... Now we see this like light talking about wine and what she wanted. And
if
what she
is
to do
pregnant,
with
then it's a good thing she spit out the vinegar wine and didn't drink the other type of wine. So who knows? We don't know. But anyway,
even if she is, she's only at this point 2-3 months at most, at absolute maximum.
Yeah,
along
that'd be fine.
But let's... Okay, yeah, we
especially
keep dancing around
France.
It. Let's talk about Will.
Yeah.
Because at one point, you know, after she's sort of gotten the hang of, you know, trapping her water monster meat stuff, not meat, vegetation stuff, she gets caught in a trap. And this was, for me, his introduction was very unsettling. I know you guys kind of picked up right away that, oh, he's the guy that she needs to go back and save. I was concerned that this was the guy chasing her the entire time. So,
same here.
Because he was silhouetted, but we see he has a machete. That's unsettling. So,
I mean, they set it up that way for us to, like, initially think that. Because he did something which, now that I know him as the character after watching this episode, I thought was strange that he, like, encaged her and... encaged.
Imprisoned.
Yeah.
Imprisoned.
Imprisoned. Hashtag more.
Hashtag more.
He morphed her. No, that came later.
That went later, yeah.
But, I think, like, all of that explanation of, like, you're still here, you're real, like, after we hear his story of, like, how if you're out there and if you're exposed for too long, you start hallucinating, you start seeing things, you start going a little bit crazy. And I think that explained why he was doing that, because he was trying to make sure that it wasn't a hallucination.
Like,
or,
is this girl a figment of my imagination?
Yeah.
Or is this... Because what he was saying about it at the end of the episode is that it will appear as anything
right.
to trick you. Like, this could be a trick.
Maybe he was thinking about cute British girls. And
or
like,
maybe it was as simple as, that's a person over there. I haven't talked to one of those in about 14 years. What do you say when you first meet? Was it Does it start with an H? Hey,
well,
girl.
My question is,
hey, girl.
I think it was 2001. He doesn't have hey, girl.
So hey, girl. Sup? What did people say in 2001?
Oh God, it was so long ago.
What's up? I would say though,
what's up?
Right, like 2000.
They probably did say what's up.
2001, an astronaut got lost on a space odyssey.
Yeah,
little chasing, on the nose,
chasing a monolith.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. That didn't even click in my brain yet.
Yeah, it's really on the nose. And if it is where Thanos is, he's the mad. He's on Titan. He's on a moon of Jupiter, which is where.
So
the 2001
weird.
Space
so
Odyssey
when
takes
they
place.
Come back to this planet, Will could very well be a space time baby, like hanging out in the cosmos.
Yeah, he could be a weird fetus in the cosmos. Yeah,
that movie's so weird. But
so
that
good.
Is a nice little nod. So, but yeah, we have Will, who came with a bunch of other astronauts when the monolith was in NASA's possession, and they sent a group of explorers.
They have an answer to what they said in 2001.
What did they say in 2001?
What's up?
Yeah, what's up?
We did that earlier.
Scary movie and for then, all you kids out there.
And what
also,
is it, the Doritos
it was
commercial?
The Budweiser. Yeah.
Oh, Budweiser, you're right.
Yeah.
I won't do it.
Yeah, sure.
Too rude.
Also, they're the frogs.
But going back to when Will captured, oh my gosh, Simmons. I can't remember if they actually showed this, but did he capture her when she was out, or was she like alive and kicking, and he was like dragging her? I don't remember.
She woke up in a cage.
Yeah. So she was unconscious when
she
grabbed
her. She fell through a trap hole.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Or and like landed, I guess, smack dab in the middle of his home.
Because
and he came back and went and when he landed in the trap, and then he closed the door
that's
on
true.
Her, and then presumably she passed out.
Okay, because I figured if she was awake through all of it, she'd be kicking and screaming, and it would have saved all that time of her being caged and like hitting him for him to realize that she's real.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
it just seemed Simmons, very
but
Simmons.
The interesting thing about his story, again, not only that, you know, is he somebody who's technologically 15 years behind her, but everybody who was with him went nuts and killed themselves. And then the last guy went nuts and tried to kill him.
Yeah.
And he had one job. Well, you had one job.
You had
keep
one
everyone
job,
everyone
well.
Alive.
Yeah.
Jeez.
With
but
a
no,
gun.
And this,
keep
and this
them
was,
alive with a gun.
And
he's
going to
be in
really,
so much trouble with NASA when he gets back.
Well, and this
NASA's
was really
so angry.
Horrific, too, just the way one guy threw himself off a cliff. One guy set himself on fire.
It reminded me of stories when you hear people who go on expeditions to Mount Everest, and like you, when they go south, and you hear stories about people just like walking off cliff faces and like kind of going insane because of the lack of oxygen, plus just the severe weather and just being in like such a intense like environment like that. So it didn't surprise me, but he blamed it on the planet. He said that it was making them go crazy.
Yeah, that it was whatever it was drove them to do these things.
Because if there's anyone who is like prepared and trained to be in such an intense environment, it would be an astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
And these ones were not prepared or trained.
True.
They weren't. They were,
but just not for a death storm.
Yeah.
There was no way to train. They were going into
a
situation. They were going into a one-way situation that was completely unknown.
Yeah.
I really want to get to the bottom of how NASA knew that it was habitable on the other side, or if they just didn't, and they're like, well,
And also
luck.
What they expected to learn if everyone they sent never came back with, like, data or samples. I mean, it seemed like they've done it
anything.
Multiple times,
well,
and they didn't get anything that they wanted.
Maybe that means that somebody has come back before.
That's what I am thinking. Because we have all these, like, we saw throughout history all of these people sending people through the portal. There's no way to know it's, like, until now, when we have, like, the technology that we have now, there was no way to know it was a portal and not just a thing that swallows people.
Yeah. Unless there is someone that we don't know about yet at the center of... Because there was, like, that secret society that was meeting and threw the guy in. NASA could theoretically have, like, a little secret society ring at the top or something. Who knows who is... What secret organization that might have, like, 12 members sitting at a round table making judgments about things that they know about on a wider scale?
Some sort of calendar-based...
No, Calendar Man is DC.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's a different universe.
Not to get into predictions, but Jia Ying seemed to believe that this thing was going to bring them death and destruction, and we keep going back to this idea that everybody who's gone through the monolith was a sacrifice of some sort. So maybe the whole idea behind the monolith, like whatever this entity is on this planet or the planet itself, maybe it's something that needs to be pacified. Otherwise, it's going to come through the portal and bring death and destruction onto the Earth. Maybe.
That's,
I don't know.
That's possible. I think it seems implied that whoever has been sending people back has been sending them for to study the planet, because the last person that we are now aware of that went through not the guy that we see, but we find the evidence in the in the graveyard.
Yeah, he's dead.
Of
now.
a star mapper. I don't know what those things are called.
It looked like
exactly.
a sextant or something like that.
Is that
like,
what it's called?
I think that's it.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think it's a sextant. But it's a tool that's used to map the stars and study the stars. So it's effectively the old-timey version of
what NASA
said. So someone has been trying to study this planet for a long time. NASA is just the latest, the second latest after SHIELD, in a long line of people, and they figured out that it was a portal. The question is, how? Who told them was a portal?
Until you know, Fitz, who had the technology or the way to tell that this thing was a portal? Was it that there was sand coming out of it every time it activated? Is there like a weird plant on Earth that's like sending people back? Something like that? Like, I don't know.
Maybe the same situation happened with two other people where one person got sucked in and the other person figured out how to save them, or vice versa.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Somebody
History
always
repeated itself, and it ended up being with Simmons and Fitz this time around.
Somebody always comes out the other side really sad.
Yeah. it's a sad portal. It just makes you teleport to a sadder you.
It's not death on the other side. It's just depression.
It's just depression. Another abstract made real.
Yeah, a manifestation of depression.
Oh, jeez. Getting dark.
And then, at least Simmons had her companion cube in Will.
That's true.
But you have to incinerate your companion cube at one point.
If you think about it,
she left him. I mean, not intentionally, but you know, was left in the dust.
If you think about it, if you live long enough, you have to incinerate all your companion cubes.
Is that what it is on this planet? It's just GLaDOS messing with portals?
I hope so.
That would be a twist. Anyway,
We saw there was cake in this episode. Simmons
there
got
was
birthday
cake in
cake,
this episode.
And it was TARDIS.
It was! Yeah. The cake wasn't a lie, guys. The
it was a lie because it was on a phone. And it was not edible. And she wasn't even there to eat the TARDIS cake.
Our engineer says it was a lie.
It was a lie. Sorry.
Do you want the cake?
I don't know Doctor Who as well as you guys, but the TARDIS is a portal as well, correct?
It is.
Okay, I don't know.
It so travels through portals that it makes.
Okay.
Is
we don't
the
have
simplest
to get into
way
it.
To
Zach,
do
you
want to
explain what TARDIS stands for?
Time and relative dimensions in space.
Nerds.
Yeah, Megan and I, when the cake got brought out, just looked at each other like, ah!
I also got excited.
Really
excited.
We understood that.
Jesse, your reaction was like, kept down.
You're like, yeah,
my
I got it. And
I'm like, clueless. Like, I don't know.
Jesse was like, I understood that reference. Yeah,
the chat is echoing something that I thought during the episode. Didn't you guys think that Will looked a lot like Ward?
Yes.
I thought he looked like Hunter.
He looked like Warden Hunter had a baby.
I thought Hunter first.
God, just stay away from DeviantArt when you say those words.
Please do. Do yourself a favor. Steer clear. I can see the resemblance. I can see why a lot of people would think that.
He does have a brother that we haven't met.
How funny would that
he's
be?
Not, it's true. His name is not Will. I think from the Charrel, it's Thomas. Is the one we haven't
met.
Yeah,
he's the younger brother.
That doesn't mean that he kept his name, though.
Well, he could be Thomas William Ward and go by his middle name.
TWW.
He looks like... It could just be casting, but it looks a lot like him.
Yeah. I also thought it was funny that the reason why he was able to stay alive on this planet was because he was so willful and had strong will, and his name was Will. And I thought, I was like, oh, very clever, whoever
it's
named
like
him that.
It's like naming Matt Damon's character in Interstellar, Dr. Man. I understand
now. Yeah, he's a man.
Anyway, guys, let's take a quick break to talk to you guys about iTunes really quick. Zach, would you be able to pull up iTunes?
No. It's not working.
Okay. Sorry, guys, but we want to take this time to say thank you to everybody who goes to iTunes to leave a 5-star rating. We will read off the comments next time when we have better internet reception. We apologize, but it
my phone, like, I have internet, but Apple, like, anytime Apple does a system update, I can't, podcast just doesn't work properly. Yeah.
It makes it very difficult, but it really does mean the world to us when you guys take the time to rate and leave a comment. We actually got a few emails this time around. I don't know if I can pull up the emails. From some people took the time to email AfterBuzz to just say how much, you know, to give us their theories on the show, to basically say how excited they were to watch the after show every week. And it was very touching to have that forwarded.
We got another person from Brazil, so at least two people from Brazil who are fans of the show, which is super awesome.
I love it. We have the most dedicated fans, at least from all the podcasts that I've done on AfterBuzz. Like, the fans for all those shows are good, but you guys are great. Like,
we also take
the time out of your days and lives to, like, really make us feel great.
I feel like Mondays on the East Coast, like, a bunch of businesses take a dip because there are so many people on the East Coast who stay up to watch this and then, like, go to bed and then have to go to work.
Well, and there are people who watch us before they go to school or during class, gotten in trouble watching us during class, which don't watch us during class because you'll get in trouble, but we really, really appreciate it. It means the world to us.
Don't yell, "I want a laser finger" in the middle of your work week.
Yeah, it will get you a weird meeting with HR.
Very weird meeting.
You guys can stall for another minute.
Sure,
but
sure.
So it's genuinely the highlight of our week, and we love hearing from you guys on YouTube as well. And we want to hear your guys' crazy theories. What do you guys think is going to happen to Will next week? And since we're getting back to the regular plot next week, we also want to hear your guys' thoughts on all that, too. And what was your favorite part of this week's episode, just seeing Gemma and Will on this planet together?
And if you're an international fan, since we can't see your iTunes comments, take a screen cap and send them to us. What's the email?
It's like info at AfterBuzzTV.com.
Exactly.
Info@AfterBuzzTV.com.
Or tweet them to us.
The screenshots.
Oh, yeah.
We've
gotten
a couple of those.
Fun.
Those are cool.
Yeah.
We got one email from Jaden McAllister sent us an email, as did Unitive Planet 14. So thank you, guys. It was very, very sweet of you to take time. And they wrote us really long emails, too. It was very, very sweet of you guys to take time out of your day to send us those big emails.
We'll have to come back to this.
Okay, cool. That's fine. Let's move on. So after Will and Gemma have come together and they kind of come to this understanding, because Gemma thinks he's just paranoid from having been here for so long, but he is convinced that death is around every corner.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have to kind of try to find a way to work together to find a way home. And basically what Gemma concludes is that she'll use her phone, or what's left of the phone battery, to power up his old equipment and use that, and as well as the distance where they both arrived on the planet, to calculate the rotation of the planet to figure out where the portal's going to pop up next.
Yeah.
So I want to say just how I... Yeah, I know that was confusing.
It's complicated.
But well, no,
the
I
science
really...
doesn't check out on that, which really bothers me. Because if the portal is staying in the same spot and it's the planet that's moving, that means you have a chance that the portal will pop up when the planet's in rotation and it'll just be in the middle of space. Like, it that doesn't really follow.
Like, instead of...
Like, in the position of, like... I see what you're saying. Like, it'll hit the space.
Because not only is the planet rotating on an axis, but it's also rotating around
something,
presumably some celestial body.
It's like when people talk about, like time travel. Like, if you were a time traveler and you went back in time to a time when Earth wasn't in the exact same position that it's in right now, then you could end up traveling back into the vacuum of space when Earth isn't there. So, like, that kind of bothered me, but I didn't care that much. Like, it's a fun show.
You can forgive it. And I do want to, I mean, of course she knows all these things because the screenwriters say she does.
Yeah.
But I love that she was able to deduce everything that we had learned about this place.
Yeah.
Just being on her own and being observant. She was able to determine that people were being sent as sacrifices. She was able to determine that the portal was tied to lunar rotation. She was able to determine so much just by keeping her mind active and focused.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps that that's literally all she has to think about all day.
The sciencing things.
Yeah, sciencing things or Will.
Yeah.
Will.
She's got two things to do.
He's cute.
Working Will.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this because we all had different opinions on this scene where, you know, Simmons has a breakdown after coming face to face with death. And basically Will says, you know, she brought him hope. And they end up kind of becoming a couple and they totally hook up. And
they're not kind of a couple. Yeah. Their beds are
close together.
I mean, they have no choice but to be together. But I wonder if, like...
They do have a choice.
it was only 3 months.
and it's like,
evolutionarily speaking, if you're the last two people on the planet... It's a propensity to want to get together. It doesn't necessarily mean you're a couple.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're meant to be together either. It's just you're both there and you're stranded. Things are going to happen. Feelings, emotions run high.
I know that, I guess, I don't know if all of you or some of you, when we were watching, weren't rooting for that to happen. Or you thought it was strange, but I was like, I can't blame the two of them. I mean, they don't know if they're going to get out alive, no matter how hard they're trying. They don't know if they're going to get in contact with Fitz or if they're going to make this thing work or if it actually works. So why not? I mean, I get it.
Because you don't like the other person. I don't know why.
I like him, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's a nice guy. He's very caring. Like,
yeah.
He's not maybe Gemma. Like, he doesn't necessarily match with Gemma perfectly, but he's a perfectly nice, attractive man, so there's no reason not to.
But they also made a really good team, and as much as he doubted, like, what she was saying in the beginning, he gave her a chance. And like you said earlier, they gave each other hope. And, like, they both kind of, well, especially Gemma, hit this low before he was like, all right, let's test out what you're thinking.
I like it because I am not very into Fitz and Simmons having a romantic relationship. I think it's lazy writing, and I wouldn't enjoy that. It's stereotypical, and it's something that I feel like I see too much. It's, to me, it's the same as, like, seeing a show where it's like, oh no, there's this really attractive guy and this really attractive girl, but, like, the guy won't say anything to her. And it's like, I wonder if these two really attractive people will get together.
Are gonna get together.
And they always do. It's lazy to me. I know they've put a lot of groundwork into it, and that over the years they've really extended their relationship. But I think, to me, I think that they can have a more complicated relationship that would be just as satisfying. And I think the show could really, like, help show that you can have a very in-depth and loving relationship without it being a romantic one.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, for me, like, I was,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, Zach had to step away from the television for
Zach
a moment,
was upset.
Guys.
I mean, my bladder was upset. Yeah. But it was conveniently timing because it made my exit very dramatic.
It was very dramatic. He had a scarf
whipped
around his neck.
Good day.
Yeah.
But see, here's the thing. Like, I guess for me, I just connected so much with Fitz on this storyline, in part just because of, like, things like I've lived that specific like situation enough times in my life that I very much feel for Fitz in there. And like, I think I'm on your side in the sense of long term, I don't see Fitz and Simmons being necessarily a couple. Like, if the show goes like 7-8 years, I don't know that they will necessarily stay together, but I think that they need to get together at some point and let that relationship work itself out, because if you don't like that sort of classic stereotypical storyline between Fitz and Simmons, I think you have more of an opportunity to combat that by getting them into a situation, getting them together, and then having them fall out of it than just, oh, well, it didn't work out. She met some other guy when she got into another situation. So I want to see them get together, and my heart broke for Fitz. And the look on his face at the end, like his determination to help, in spite of that, is just more to the strength of him as a person, as a character.
Yeah.
But also, you could see that just the tiniest little like twitch in his look of like, he's like, I'm going to help because I love you.
Yeah.
But this is the worst.
It reminded me of like in like movies and like thing where it's like the girl's dating like the jock and like the nerdy best friend, and he's like, yeah, I'll help you with your homework, sure. Like, yeah, I'll do it. Just, like, I know you're with that guy, but I'll just help you with your homework, sure.
Oh, except, it's way more complicated this now. Homework. Yeah.
I didn't say it was the same. I said it reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
I was going to say, make the girl the bad guy in this
scenario. No, not at all. No, for sure, Simmons is not the bad guy.
No, and
she doesn't owe herself to anyone.
No,
like, yeah.
Not at all.
I hope I didn't imply that anyway.
Not at all. And I see where you're saying, like, I also feel really bad for Fitz, because so far, for him, it's been no good deed goes unpunished. And, like, he's saved Gemma plenty of times already, and, like, he was brain dead brain damaged for a while. And then now this, like, he saved Simmons. Like, he actually risked his life to save her. He got her, and now he realizes that she wants to go back. It's like, he can't win, but he is going to continue to be the same Fitz that he is to her, regardless of what's happening.
He put himself and others in massive harm's
way.
In
mortal peril.
He's really a villain.
He brought a
villain. he's being selfish.
And maybe in a few ways,
who knows if Gemma ends up dying, he might go mad scientist on everybody.
Yeah, he could
become evil Fitz would be.
Yeah.
I don't want Fitz to go evil,
no,
but oh
not.
My
it'd
be god!
Amazing.
But
it would in be so another exciting. In another universe, like if they were to travel to an alternate timeline,
and
or
evil
like
Fitz
the multiverse,
like Gemma dies, and we see what that would do to Fitz, that'd be really cool.
That would be fascinating. But
well, this is an interesting point. Just on before we move off of Will,
sure.
People are saying in the chat roll, what if Will is not real? What if Will is the planet? If you think of the planet as a living thing, there's a lot
like
of talk about it being imaginary and showing you things that you want to see. What if he is created by the planet for nefarious purpose number three?
And he doesn't know it. Like,
I would
a projection of the planet, or he doesn't know he's not
that,
real.
Would
or?
That be Gemma and the hologram?
That would be truly outrageous, Zach. Truly outrageous.
I would agree with that. I was thinking, like, what if Will isn't real and it's just her doing, her projecting and like the Earth kind of tricking her, except for the fact that we get that scene where Will sees the sun and then it contemplates suicide and then realizes that he doesn't have a bullet left in the gun.
That's a good point.
And I feel like that if it was true that Will wasn't real, then that scene was only shown to us to trick us, which would be super annoying.
It sounds like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not necessarily above doing.
That's
given
true.
A lot of, you know, the speculation about Andrew and everything like that.
If he is a figment of her imagination or a projection of the planet, or, you know, for Gemma, then good casting because he looks like all the main men in the show. So it would make sense for him to be a combination like of everyone that she knows, like all the men that she knows.
I still say, like, they wouldn't show us that scene where he contemplated suicide and, like,
true,
saw
no,
the sign.
I agree.
If he's a figment of her imagination, you're right.
Yeah.
But if he is a manifestation of the planet...
Or a creation and he doesn't know he's not real.
Either doesn't know it, or we don't know what the planet's true motivation is.
Yes.
Like, if he is the manifestation of the planet, or the consciousness of the planet, like, put into, like, a body for a moment, he could still be going through whatever emotions.
Yeah. For sure.
He could very well believe that story that he told her. Like, he could very well be a not-real entity, but with false memories.
How do you explain all his equipment and all his machinery
underground?
Well, there could have
been NASA still could have sent stuff.
Yeah, like, they still That's could true. Have sent... astronauts.
I mean, Simmons had sex with a planet.
I mean, how many people can say that they scored with an alien planet?
Not that many.
No, but I will say something to along the lines of that theory is if that is the case, if he is just kind of a creation of the planet or a manifestation of, you know, some form of some aspect of the planet. Mm. To what end? And to that, I would postulate that it would be to get a permanent or larger portal opened, or to bring more people to the planet, or, yeah, to straight up be able to travel to Earth.
Yeah.
And that's, again, I don't necessarily think that's the case. I don't think this guy is a manifestation of the planet, but that's something to think about.
Yeah.
If, you know, something to keep in... I guess, in the back of your mind.
Yeah, that's an interesting theory. Yeah, I appreciate
Actually, thinking about the naming of the astronauts, I'm guessing that Will's last name is Eisner, just because all of the astronauts were named after famous comic book people. So
I didn't write down the first one. Brubaker was like,
yeah,
boom.
Austin, Brubaker, and Taylor. So it's all comic book people. So I'm going to say Will's last name is Eisner. and they're all just named after famous comic book people.
Unless it's Ward.
Unless it's Ward.
Maybe. We'll see. So we do have this really beautiful scene where they decide to go and watch the one and only sunrise that they will have seen the entire time that they've been here.
Yeah.
It's only going to last a few minutes. And that's when it comes back. And as we mentioned before, instead of manifesting itself as a silhouette or a smoke monster, it instead appears as an astronaut, presumably to try to trick her that it's some people from NASA that have come to rescue him.
It looked like a bloody astronaut. Like, there was something on his...
There was some sort of pattern on the spacesuit. Yeah.
It looked like...
It looked like religious imagery, almost.
Kree is the big implication here.
Yeah.
We still know that the monolith has something... Here's the big thing we haven't even talked about. The monolith is said to have... something to do with the Inhumans.
Yes.
It is used to kill the Inhumans. Is death here an Inhuman of some kind? The crazy implication that the planet is an Inhuman.
Alive,
that's like the wild theory. It seems extreme, but
weirder
Inhuman.
Things.
It's the Inhuman season.
Yeah.
And that's why I kept going back to Jia Ying at the beginning.
The biggest member of the Secret Warriors. It's a planet.
It's a planet. Power of mass.
Gravity.
I mean, that's the thing is like, or did the portal exist and the Kree knew it just took you to this death planet and then used that for the Inhumans? Did one come before the other? Was it specifically engineered to kill Inhumans, or was it like the crew were like, yeah, we got this crazy death portal, let's just use it on the Inhumans?
Yeah, like, that big mistake that we made, let's just send this down here and it'll take care of it. Yeah.
Or is this just, because they say that it used to be a Garden of Eden, it's very possible that this planet, this moon, was some kind of like military base for the Kree.
Yeah.
So the idea was, as soon as an Inhuman, as soon as whatever the Inhumans or whatever the Kree are making, wherever they go, this portal is there to bring them to this moon as soon as they are ready to be powerful enough. Rather than put them on a spaceship, you just teleport them through this thing.
It's also possible that this was meant to be a sort of, if it was a Garden of Eden, it was meant to be a peaceful solution. Like, hey, we'll remove them from Earth so they're not a danger to everybody, and we'll put them on this peaceful planet. And then whatever it is came to this planet and killed it.
Oh. Mm.
Death.
Yeah, it Lady could very Death. Well be that Lady, Lady Death
McDeath.
Came. Lady McDeath came to this planet. Although we got to be careful about saying Lady Death, that's another comic book character.
That's true.
But yeah, so all interesting things. So yeah, Fitz is in a heartbreaking situation. Simmons is in a heartbreaking situation. Will is in a heartbreaking situation. Everything about this episode was absolutely heartbreaking and awesome. We should probably move into getting back to our normal storylines and talking about predictions for next week specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
There it is. Yes.
And now, you're after both.
Light show!
Yes, we get the light show.
My favorite. So, we hit the ground running again next week, and the first thing the stupid preview says is, the death of her ex brings Agent May back to life. You suck, promo guy.
I still don't think he's dead.
I don't think he's dead either.
I think
it's like a good promo to cut, but yeah, like... No. But, like, I don't think that guy is paid by Marvel.
Yeah, so I mean, the promo is meant to continue the belief that he's dead.
Yes.
I maintain that I don't think he's dead at all.
Nobody
knows. But there's no reason they wouldn't continue to play that card, because that's what they want us to think is real.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew, it turns out to be Lash.
We do see Bobby's back in action, though.
Yeah.
We get some Bobby.
She's, like, training again.
Yeah.
That's hardcore, though.
Exciting that she's back out in the field, but I'm wondering if it's not a little too soon.
I was thinking that, too. There is going to be something that might happen that'll set her out of commission for a while. Again.
That, I feel
Which
like...
Which could be the setup for the show. Their spinoff.
I feel like...
That's not coming for a while now.
Yeah,
that's
true. Like they... They're moving so fast, and the you came back too soon and you've got to wait is like a delay tactic that a lot of TV shows use when they're like, oh, we don't want to push the plot this far yet. Let's keep this character out of commission again. Because the show has been moving so incredibly fast, I feel like they don't need to use that. They're just, like, every episode has been giant leaps of plot and information.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, keeping Bobby out of it is, like, more of a delay tactic to keep her back instead of, like, moving the story forward, which is, it looks like Bobby, May, and Hunter are making a squad to kill Ward.
Although, I still maintain that May is going to have a lot of issues with Hunter because, again, he did make the decision to essentially put her, you know, ex-husband on the chopping block.
That'll definitely cause a rift.
Yeah.
But I also think, again, that Andrew's not dead, but he's also not Andrew anymore. Like, he's going to be introduced to us as someone who's, like, you know... evil or against S.H.I.E.L.D. for some reason.
Like, it turns out that he staged
that
his death.
That he's Lash. No, I'm just kidding.
Like, he staged his death because he's been with Hydra this whole time.
A lot of people think Andrew is Lash.
Yeah.
He's been very supportive of every inhuman person that he's come across
to
help.
It's a guy's...
Yeah, I was very much joking, but I don't actually think he's Lash.
There are a lot of people that are very pro-Andrew being Lash.
And go ahead.
I was going to say, that doesn't mean to say that I don't think he could be an inhuman.
Yeah.
I don't think it adds up for him to be Lash.
I agree. For me, it doesn't make sense, but I think a lot of people are latching on to that because they would rather latch on to that than accept the idea that... Than accept the idea that he might be dead.
Yeah, sure.
Agents of puns.
That's supposed to be celebratory.
But go ahead.
Going back to the whole Gemma Fitz plotline, because we ended with them, obviously. I feel like Will... if Will is a real person and they do get him and she does find him and bring him back to Earth, he's going to stick around for a while. It's going to cause a rift again between Fitz and Simmons. Maybe he's going to leave. Like, it's definitely going to prolong the possibility of them getting together. And I think maybe if Will comes back, Fitz is like, that's it, I'm done. That's the last thing I'm doing. I keep getting my heart broken. I can't handle this. Like, it'll be hard for him to separate that personal part of his life with his job, and yeah, he might just book it.
I think we're getting a slow burn on Will. I feel like we're going to go back to, like, hunting Hydra and Inhumans and
but
stuff like that.
But I think in the background, they're going to be running tests on him and, like, trying to learn, like, has his biology changed? Like, my question for him, for Will, is, like, how old are you really? Because he's been there for 15 years, or 14 years.
Yeah, how old was he in 2001?
How old is he in 2001? Was he the same age as he looks now? And, like, he's, like, 50?
He's aged remarkably well. Yeah, he doesn't look 40.
That's what I'm saying. And as an astronaut, I can't imagine him being a 22-year-old astronaut.
Well, here's the thing. He's not getting any sun, which is good for your skin.
No UV, radiation.
I feel like he's not eating with very well, though.
Well, we don't know what's
happening. And he's under a lot of stress.
Also, the gravity is stronger, so he's building up muscle.
Would it also cause your skin to sag?
It would cause your skin to sag.
No, but it's a fair point. They said it 14 years in the past. That's a long time. Mm-hmm. They had full choice over when that was.
Yeah.
Like, close enough to be able to, like, know what the internet was and everything, but far enough away so that, like, a smartphone is the craziest thing ever.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say that I don't think Will is a projection or a manifestation of the planet, but I do think that when they open up the portal and bring him back, I don't think he's the only thing coming back through.
Sure.
I feel like whatever it is on this planet is going to follow them, and I'm really excited to see that. I want that. Is that weird to be rooting for whatever horrible force of death on this planet coming to our planet?
Let's
is that wrong
it.
To root for?
No, I want
to
see it.
All right. Does anybody have any other thoughts or predictions about the show this week, or just any other?
I think we got it all out.
Yeah, I think we got it.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much. Again, this was an emotional roller coaster ride. Thank you guys for watching and discussing with us. Thank you to everybody on the hashtag and the live chat. Be sure to let us know throughout the week. Be sure to leave comments, and we want to know your guys' predictions. We want to know what you guys thought about this week's episode.
Yep.
Jesse Klein, where can the people find you?
Everyone, you can find me on Twitter at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein1, the number one. And if you're in the Los Angeles area, you can see me doing live comedy with Haymaker or DJ Fawcett or whoever I'm doing comedy with at the time.
You guys can follow me on Twitter at ThatZachWilson, and also here after us on a whole bunch of shows. This week we're doing the Sleepy Hollow Bones crossover.
So weird.
I don't understand it. I don't get it. We're going to talk about it, so join us.
Hey guys, thank you for watching. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for some behind-the-scenes stuff I post once in a while for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at Jay Azuri. And I also do the Sunday night podcast for The Walking Dead.
Speaking of, like, shows breaking your heart, Walking Dead this week, man. Guys, I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at THEMENGUIN, The Menguin. Also, I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with two Ks. Be sure to check those out. And be sure to also check out the Movie Chick news show every Tuesday. We skipped this week, but we'll be back next week. So thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. We will see you all next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.